in John 4, starting at verse 27. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now, you've probably heard of some who, say, grow up in a very large city who never really think about the source of their food. They just know they buy it at a grocery store. They don't think how vital is the work of farmers and ranchers and to have harvest. Yet to have a food source is essential, of course, for life in this world. Even more so, it is vital to have the harvest which the Lord Jesus speaks of in our text. For he speaks of reaping the fields of souls that are around us. In fact, some are always to be found, as he says, as white for harvest or prepared by God for calling and conversion. And to be so brought in is clearly essential. It's essential to have eternal life. Therefore, it is all important for Christians to be witnesses unto our Lord, that others may be drawn to him. For like us, all sinners have the ultimate need of repentance and faith in Christ to have eternal salvation. And so let us view this harvest as, first, more important than earthly considerations. Second, having eternal results. And third, in order to evangelize. Well, Jesus had just declared the height of his self-revelation to the Samaritan woman when he said he is the Christ. In verse 26, he said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And just then, at that very moment, just then, his disciples returned. You see, in God's providence, it was not a moment earlier or later. Thereby, the conversation with the woman was not interrupted, and they, the disciples, see Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman, by which they would later understand its missionary implications. And so, dear ones, Christ's kingdom was gloriously advanced here to its best advantage, for this harvest is more important than earthly considerations, as in who is reached. Again, the disciples marveled that he talked with a woman. After all, the Jewish leaders had said that rabbis were not to talk to a woman in public, even to their own wives. And yet, his disciples respected Jesus so much that they do not even ask any question. If they had asked him what he wanted from her, Jesus could have said, physical water, he wanted a drink. If he was talking to her of why that was happening, he could say, to give her living water. And so he'd spoken to her already. In any case, Jesus, of course, knew what was right to do, and he promoted true emancipation of women in how they were treated by men at the time, and above all, in salvation for all who will believe. Certainly the women could be taught publicly, which he provided for that. They could grow in faith and understanding as joint heirs of eternal life by his work. Indeed, the disciples should have realized that all souls are equally precious to God. And that includes girls and boys, men and women, and some whom they could consider despicable, like this woman. They should have, as we must all understand, that in our own sins of ourselves, we are despicable before the holy God who yet saves sinners. Praise be to God. Well, the woman left when the disciples arrived, and she eagerly uses this occasion to go tell others her news about this Jesus. Yet did she forget her water pot in her excitement and eagerness? Oh, yeah, some think so and say that. With others, rather, I think it likely that she had filled it before Jesus asked her for a drink of water, and now she left it on purpose for him to drink. Or has she not taken in what Christ said about the completely spiritual nature of true worship? And so there would be no objection to Jews and Samaritans, no objection to them drinking from the same vessel even. And we're not told that she forgot, but that she left it. And the same form of that verb is found in verse 3, where Jesus left Judea on purpose, obviously. My point is that she has come to believe him about worship and that he may truly be the Messiah so long waited for. In any case, no matter who is reached with the gospel, here is the all-important harvest of souls displayed. And obviously you and I, then, should not be hesitant to proclaim the gospel to anyone, no matter, their ancestry, for example, or how far they have strayed away from God, no matter what their lifestyle is. We should not be hesitant when Jesus spoke to win this woman to salvation. This one, as he has said, who has had such an immoral life thus far. Oh, dear ones, this harvest is more important than any earthly considerations. It's more important than what we desire. Now, the disciples had gone into the city to buy food, as said in verse 8. And so here they return with the food, and they urge Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." And yet he had an inner source of sustenance, as it were. He had what would satisfy him. Certainly he felt hunger according to his human nature. And yet, thinking of the harvest, this harvest he speaks of was more important than that earthly matter. Well, so often the disciples misunderstood him, and they thought he was speaking of literal food, as others misunderstood him, and as the woman misunderstood him about the water at first. They were thinking that in the land of the Samaritans, surely no one would bring him food to eat. But Jesus replied, "My food is through the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That is, you see, Christ was satisfied, finding delight in his soul, doing the Father's will, and accomplishing the saving work he was sent to do, as with this Samaritan woman. He just thought of how she needed salvation. He wasn't so concerned about hunger pains then. No, truly, no earthly need or desire, as for food or rest or safety, was so important to our Lord as doing the Father's will to save sinners. And for that purpose, he said, "The Father has sent me," chapter 5, 36. And he always spoke the words of God, and he did his will to that end. Yes, that's what Jesus said of himself, and it's what John the Baptist affirmed of Christ. It's what all the apostles and scripture writers proclaim. He always did the Father's will. And then in his own prayer after the Last Supper, Jesus said, "I have finished the work which you have given me to do," chapter 17, 4. That is, he had made the Father known. He had made his will known for man's salvation. And it was so certain that Jesus would accomplish it at the cross, that atonement, that he spoke of having finished it already the night before. Finally, on the cross, with a verb of the same root, Jesus said at the point of his death, "It is finished." He accomplished it. He did it all for all God's people, for all who will believe. And so truly, brothers and sisters, to save sinners was his great calling, to which he surrendered everything and bore the wrath of God at the cross. Oh, our Lord's love and grace to do that for the great harvest of believers is our great comfort then, when we rely on him alone. And so for you and me also, to serve Christ, to serve our Lord, when he gives us an occasion to point others unto him, that must be, as John Calvin wrote, more important than eating and drinking. Yes, more important than anything that you and I can desire in this life is the all-important harvest for sinners to have forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ. Oh, may we have no other desire as more important than, may no other desire hinder our witness to him. Second, consider that harvest as having eternal results. That is the result of the harvest of souls, which he spoke of in verse 36. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. And so with that result, an eternal result in view, the harvest is to be sought now. Now. Now when he asked the disciples about this saying that the harvest of crops was 4 months away, well, I agree with some. That was probably not a common saying, for the ordinary time between sowing and reaping took longer in their agricultural year than 4 months. But Jesus knew they had remarked about that. We can remark about it often. Say, oh, look how tall the corn is now. Look at it now. And so he had heard them speaking in that way of the growth they had seen. Likewise, as one wrote, you and I are often more concerned for the things of this life than reaping the wheat of heaven. And so Jesus commanded them and us to look at the fields. Oh, the soul harvest was ripe already. If you remember, the crowd of Samaritans, it says in verse 30, had already started out to the well to meet this man to come to Jesus. They'd already started, and they would then be seen to approach. And the disciples were to consider them as fields ready to harvest. Oh, later Jesus would say, as in Matthew 9:37, that the harvest among the Jews was plentiful. I read that this morning. And he sent the apostles then to them. He didn't send them to the Samaritans yet as a whole. He said, don't go to them. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel at this point. In any case, beloved, in and to all the world, the Great Commission sends Christians now. And the eternal result of salvation for sinners is to be sought now and always until he, Christ, comes back as judge of all. And so for our encouragement in that calling, dear ones, consider how there can be an immediate result and harvest if God so wills. Was that not the case here with these Samaritans, with this city of them? Jesus had spoken and sent one person, the woman, to call others to hear him, and they came. With that sowing of his word toward her, hardly any time had passed until his own disciples would participate in the harvest of the word. For they would certainly be asked by these Samaritans who came out, asked about Jesus. And they would reap by testifying and calling sinners to him. And so it was not in 4 months, but already he who reaps receives wages. Indeed, the wages are not only to see sinners converted to Christ, but for all the Christians' faithful service, there's a crown of glory ahead, as the scriptures assure us, assure all true believers. And since that is true, an eternal fruit to God's praise will be seen. All our service to Christ now must be greatly encouraged thereby. Oh, yes. whether it is service in proclaiming His Word directly or in other callings of life that you have, let us each seek those eternal results now. So Christ calls us to do. Clearly, when souls may be brought to eternal salvation, that must encourage preachers and teachers of His Word and all believers to bear witness to Jesus. Let us each seek that all-important harvest. Again, it has eternal results as well in a continual harvest. Yes, that result with Christ's coming was foretold in the Old Testament times. For example, at the end of Amos 9, after God's judgments on rebellious Israel, which he foretold great blessing to his people. There would be an abundant harvest of the Gentiles, he said. It would come when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. That is, continual sowing and continual harvesting would occur. Those days had come with Jesus. After all, he was following a long line of God's messengers to Israel in the past. Because of those messengers, the Samaritan woman knew Messiah was coming. So she proclaimed it. And because of those messengers of the past, Christ's disciples would, as one said, carry on the work of gathering into new Israel, the Christian church, the crops of Jewish and Gentile believers. And so you understand, the Samaritan converts were here the first fruits of the Gentile harvest to follow. Well, since Jesus would provide at the cross for the continual harvest of conversions, he said, "He who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Again, beloved, since Pentecost has come and we are in the age of continual sowing and continual reaping, even if the harvest seems meager to us, it is the time we're in. Oh, and considering all the world, converts are continually being made. Somewhere, at any moment, they're being made. And so we can understand that. We can have our confidence in that, even if we may not see it so readily. And we may not see it so readily, as Jesus said in verse 37. The saying is true. One sows and another reaps. Now, that may be true in the physical realm, as when, say, outside harvesters of the crops are obtained, when they're hired. But it's most usual in the spiritual realm. Even as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And therefore, I think you can understand, we may speak, you and I may speak and live for Christ before others and not see any harvest in them. Later, they or we may move elsewhere. Yet with new witness of other Christians, there can be a watering of the seed. What we have said before may be that seed which is made then to grow, and a harvest results. And so, beloved, we will not know all the results of sowing until the last day. And so we are to be encouraged in our witness. Yes, let us be encouraged also. There may be a particular time and place for us to harvest, which we do not imagine yet. For at this time, Christ had not sent out the 12, the apostles, as his messengers, as he would in Matthew 10, recorded there. Yet right here, he said in verse 38, "I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." For at that moment, you see, he commissioned them to the harvest before them. At that time, for Jesus and the woman had labored, first in pointing her and then other Samaritans to him to hear Christ. And so his disciples entered into their labors at this time where they had not sown and which they certainly did not expect among Samaritans, those enemies of Israel who had so corrupted the worship of God. But oh, what a privilege for them. And brothers and sisters, what a privilege for us to seek converts to our Lord and to promote all growth, all sanctification in Christ in one another and in other believers. What a privilege. As it is said, every kingdom worker is a reaper of what others have sown and a sower that others will gather. How encouraged you and I are to be then, and rejoicing that there will always be a harvest of conversion or growth in Christ until the last day, until He returns. Thanks be to God. Lastly, consider this harvest in order to evangelize. Well, Christ did everything here to evangelize these Samaritans. He did all that sinners might have living water or everlasting life in Him. The woman was evangelized or brought to trust Him, and she began to evangelize her townsfolk. Likewise, then, let us learn to evangelize by promoting interest in Christ. Jesus had done that with her, as we've seen already, in speaking about living water and true worship of God. And she does so in verse 29, saying, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Well, if you remember, it was the same thing said by Philip to Nathanael, chapter 1, 45 and following. When Nathanael doubted Jesus could be the Christ coming from Nazareth, he was told, "Well, come and see." As for what the woman said here, the Greek text has the word "not" in it, so that it could be translated, "He is not perhaps the Christ, is he?" Or, "This is not the Christ, is it?" With either, you can understand her promoting interest, even to get the men, it says, she went to get them to come with the desire to instruct her by learning what is correct about Jesus and to tell others. Although she is most likely convinced already, she asks in that way, promoting their interest in Him. And it worked. You see, immediately, verse 30, they went out of the city and came to Him. And so, like the first disciples, they came to see the man whom they were told about. Yes, as in verse 39, many believed in Jesus because of what she said about Him and His knowledge of her life. And they were deeply impressed with one who could reveal a person's past, as they said a prophet could do. At least then they believed He was a prophet. Well, they were interested enough to come and to keep asking Him, as it says. Really, the text, the verse tense is to keep asking Him to stay with them, which He did for 2 days. Their sincere interest was shown in being so friendly, not hostile to this Jew. They were hospitable to Him, though He would only stay 2 days there. For you see, it was not time in God's plan to evangelize all Samaria. That would come later, as is recorded in Acts chapter 8. This was only one small village to be reached at this time. In any case, many more believed in Jesus by hearing Him. With some, as with Jews before, it was likely not saving faith, but believed He would be perhaps a political Messiah that Israel was looking for the most part. But some were truly converted, no doubt. Well, the point to remember, beloved, is that you and I can also promote interest in Jesus Christ. As Matthew Henry said, God can use very weak and unlikely instruments like us to begin and carry on the good work of bringing sinners to Christ. After all, our Lord so used the weak and immoral woman. So let us, though we are sinners, not be discouraged or afraid to speak for Christ. Oh yes, you and I can promote interest as in saying what He has done for us as our Savior and Lord. Can you not say what He has done for your soul? What He does for you throughout life. Yes, we can promote interest in Christ. Then we evangelize through personal hearing of the Word. Well, in 2 days, many personally heard the Word of Christ, and they came to faith through their personal experience in hearing Him proclaim the truth, the Word of God. And they said so to the woman then. No longer because of what you said, but we ourselves have heard Him. Indeed, that was, as said, a pleasing contrast with most of the Jews. His own did not receive Him, as in chapter 1:11, for the most part.
Here these foreigners did. They received him. They trusted him.
How pleasing and assuring that must have been to Jesus himself that they claimed him as the Savior of the world when his own had rejected him in so many ways. And he would truly finish that work. Indeed, they heard him and believed he was more than a national leader to old Israel, but he was a Savior of Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles, yes, of the world, believers of all nations. And it is, you see, rather amazing that these Samaritans use this phrase, Savior of the world, for it is only found in so many words here and in 1 John 4:14. Yes, this was the first application of that expression from Samaritans who were of the world. They were outside of Israel, the old covenant people of God. And so Jesus must have stressed this salvation from the Jews was for the world. For he truly saves God's elect of every nation from the Jews and from heathen lands which the Samaritans represented. Oh, you and I also must have then, we know, true faith and conversion which comes through the personal hearing of the word of Christ. And there we find the one true way of salvation. It is in Jesus as Savior and Lord. For as the Holy One of God and the Lamb of God, he sacrificed himself at the cross for all of his people. He alone takes away sins, guilt, defilement, and punishment for all the faithful, for all true believers. And he bestows the work of the Holy Spirit upon us, that all true Christians have that eternal fruit and life in him. Oh, you know that word of the gospel, and that we and all sinners need to hear and believe it. So let us think how others may come to hear it with us and trust in him. Yet I say, notice, it may take some steps for that to happen. As shown just in this chapter, you can see progress in the faith. First, Jesus was regarded as a mere Jew, then as a prophet, next as Messiah, and last as Savior of the world. At last, you see, John's goal is seen again, as he would say at the end, chapter 20, verse 30, that sinners may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Oh, dear ones, let us always have it in mind then. Have it in mind that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. On Christ's authority in his word, sinners can truly rely forever. And so personal contact with him by hearing his word, scripture, is necessary to make faith complete. And therefore I say, if you can encourage anyone by your experience and your testimony to listen to God's word, that may be the beginning of the all-important harvest. For instance, then, invite them to come to hear. Invite them to hear in our services, or listen to our radio program, or on sermonaudio.com. And again, let us pray for those, for all who hear, as that personal hearing of the word may be the means of their salvation. Again, may we who know more than the woman did be more eager and glad to call sinners unto Christ, to call them to hear him speak by his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the God of salvation. You have provided it according to your eternal plan. You have brought it to pass in the Lord Jesus, the one who came into this world to save sinners. Now we do praise you. He is the only one who could do that work. And he has so accomplished it, even through his perfect righteousness, his life of obedience in every thought, word, and deed, and by his sacrifice at the cross, bearing hell there, the wrath of God, as he has done that for all who will so trust in him. May we be your witnesses then, as we surrender ourselves also unto Christ in repentance and faith, turning away from all our sins, all our fallenness, all our depravity, to seek your will, your ways, and to point others to Christ as well. Again, forgive us of our sins and the ways we have not even cared so much to proclaim the truth of the gospel. May we rather promote the interest of others in to hear Christ and to come and to hear his word. Guide us then for your glory and for the good of others, that many more may be won in this all-important harvest. Again, we do pray for your glory as we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake.